Let us pray together. Redeemer, will you come? Will you open wide our hearts to thee? God, I don't want to force a message. I don't know how to convince others, let alone myself, that you are trustworthy. Lord, would you speak to us through your word? We pray for your Holy Spirit. May the words of my mouth and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Easy, right? Trust a God you can't see, that perhaps you don't really know, with your life, with my life. And if I trust him, what in the world does that practically look like? I mean, you all know Christians. Oh, trust God, pie in the sky. Makes you want to puke sometimes when they say that, right? I mean, we're real upper, middle class, smart, intellectual people. Trusting God's so emasculated, right? It's for the weak. You see, we're in a season of epiphany. Christ for every tribe and nation. Through Christ, God is offering a place at the family table to everyone. This is a scandalous message. That Christ's reconciling the world to himself through his death on the cross, inviting his enemies, your enemies, to feast at his table. What happens if we accept his invitation to enter this God-centered life, to be members of his family? Last week we said the first thing Christ does when we take a look at him is he gives us a new picture of who God is. So many of us view God as Santa Claus, living so far away. Perhaps showering gifts when we need them based on whether we're good or bad once or twice a year. Or maybe he's like a grandfather or a taskmaster, waiting to see if we'll do the right thing with his arms folded. Perhaps wondering if this time we'll actually get it right. Jesus says these are false views of God's. God wants to be our Father. He wants to be intimately acquainted and a part of our lives. He's all-knowing, all-loving, compassionate, relatable, and knowable. Slow to anger and abounding in love. Approachable, caring. Now, if God can relate to us as a great heavenly Father, how do we learn to trust him as his sons and daughters? Take a look at our gospel reading. It's pretty short. It's a good one. You see, we're going through the Lord's Prayer because it's God's invitation to the nations to address him for the God that he really is. Today we come to the phrase, "Thy kingdom come, God, thy will be done." We're in a building campaign. You're about to get an update on it. We're hoping to build and remodel our current building and possibly move forward from there. And we've hired, of course, the priest to do all the blueprints, right? That would be bad news. We're hiring an architect, someone who understands things like, square footage and topography and stormwater management and engineering. And we're going to hire a firm that's going to take those blueprints, and they're basically going to say to the architect, "Thy will be done." We do not want our construction teams calling audibles. We don't. We don't trust them. We want to hire an architect who gets it, right? And we want our construction folks and our painters and everybody else to say, "Architect, thy will be done." Right? They're going to have to trust the architect. You see, when the builder uses the blueprint, we're trusting him to come up with something that's going to be trustworthy. Jesus is saying here that, you know what? God's got a blueprint, not only for the world, but for your life. And the question is his blueprint for your life better than your blueprint for your life? I bet you really don't believe it. You don't believe that God's a great architect, a great father. I mean, think about it. What father, good father, would maliciously try and destroy his children or seek anything but their best? You see, God in this first part of the prayer is inviting us to say, look, we'll give you free rein to build the building. We'll work off of your blueprint. We want you to lead us and direct us and orchestrate our worlds any way you want. We're going to trust you with our lives, come hell or high water. Easier said than done, right? Three things about this prayer to say, God, thy will be done. First, it's a decision of the will. You and I have to come to some point in our lives when we say, God, I am going to pray thy will be done and not my will be done. C.S. Lewis says this, ready? Unless we some point use our will to turn over the reins of our lives to God, unless someday we say to God, thy will be done, you know what he does? At the end of our lives, he'll say, thy will be done. And he'll let go forever. Forever. You want to be God? You want to be the architect? Look, I won't pursue you any longer. I won't be knocking on your door. I won't send my messengers to love you and serve you and give you a picture and example and help you grow. I will let go and let you be the king of your world forever. In Resurrection 101 this week, we were reminded, I was reminded again in Genesis 3, that the sin behind every sin is this. Do you remember what the serpent said to Eve? Did God really say, don't eat of the tree of life? Yes, he did. Listen, you can't trust God. He's holding out on you. He doesn't have your best interest at heart. You better take control and be your own God because you can't trust God. And Eve said, you know what? I bet I can't trust God. Why would he hold out on me? Why would he not let me eat that tree? He must not be good. So I'm just going to take it myself. That was the sin behind every sin. A lack of trust in God, in his goodness, his plan, his purpose, and his power. And ready for this? All of us in our hearts have that downward pull towards a lack of trust in God. That's our default mode. You know, you get at your computer, would you like to return to default mode? Our default mode is, I'm not going to trust God. I'm going to trust in myself. I'm going to look out for number one. How does this play out? Three ways. Your life's going just fine. Why do you need God? Everything your hand touches turns to gold. You had the girlfriend in middle school everybody wanted. You made every team you ever played. You went to the college you wanted to, and you got the grades, and of course, the internship every summer that you wanted to, through the connections that your mom or dad had. You got the job out of school. You married the amazing girl. Your kids were completely healthy. No Down syndrome or challenging kids. No miscarriages. Your life was so good. You're like, why do I need to trust God? My way of doing things is just great. Others have experienced so much disappointment and heartache and pain. They say, how could a good God be trustworthy if he allows this much pain to go on in my life? Nothing seems to work out for you. This is the other extreme. You hit brick walls all the time. And you can't imagine that God could be trustworthy if you prayed, thy will be done. Others of you, and this may be most of us here today, you know you should trust God more. You come to church. You know, in the back of your mind, gosh, I know I should just trust God more. But you have no idea how to do it. Or you're scared to death that he might lead you down a path that's not straight, that's zigzag, and ultimately will not be for your best interest. I mean, what will your friends think? Right? Decision of the will. my will and what I want and what I think is best versus God's will and what he wants. I'm going to refer to it again. I'm sorry. Tune out because you've heard it. My favorite movie is Hoosiers. Okay? Hoosiers is a case where they bring in this old coach. They forget right off the bat that he wants to win as badly as they do. They forget that. Because he starts coming in, he tells them they can't shoot. They start doing drills around chairs, and he starts working them out and running them around. And all the parents accuse him of being an awful coach. And they say, what are you doing? He says, I'm going to break them down and build them back up. And he's willing to sacrifice short-term gains, we'll talk about this in a minute, for long-term benefit. They lose their first couple of games. He even allows only four players to play at one time because the fifth player is being rebellious, and he wants to teach him to trust him. It's a battle of the will. After the first game, he says, look, if you want to be on this team, there's only one condition. What I say is the law. Do you remember that scene if you've seen the movie? And if you want to be on this team, you need to obey me no matter what. And of course, what happens? They trust him as the great coach, and they go on to win the championship. Guys, what a great picture of the kingdom of God. Look, if you want to be in God's family, you can't be the dad. You're a child. You don't understand all the implications of everybody's life or your life. You have to one day come to a point, you know what? I am going to trust God come hell or high water. I'm going to go with his way versus my own way. This was a crazy message to the nations of the world in Jesus' day. Jesus was saying, you can trust the God of the Jews with your entire life. Yes, you've been mistreating his people. Yes, you're absolutely unworthy of it. You don't reflect household rules. But he wants you to learn to trust him, and he'll give you a place in the family. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Have you come to a place in your life where you're willing to trust God? Do you know him enough to be willing to say, I will trust your plan for my life versus my own? What would it take for you to relinquish control and surrender your life to Christ and pray, thy will be done? Secondly, praying thy kingdom come is about saving the best for last. I am an assistant coach in basketball, first time, for little girls. My daughter Grayson's on the team. Yesterday, we were getting absolutely pummeled. And I said to my coach, the head coach, I said, look, this is crazy. Take out all the bad girls and put on all the good girls. We're going to get killed. Because I'm like, look, I don't care. Like, what was I thinking of? End result, I want to win. He looked at me and said, look, we're investing in people's lives, in these kids. We're not going to sacrifice their self-esteem and communicate to them they don't matter just because we want to win a game on a Saturday that really won't matter. We're playing everybody, even if we lose, because we're actually not about coaching. We're about building into young girls and teaching them how to play the game of life. How about some humble pie for a pastor? He was willing to lose and let the girls lose for the long-term benefit of building up young girls. Could God be like that? Willing to let us experience some setbacks and challenges now so in the long run we'll thrive? God sees the big picture. He knows what's right. Do you know that my kids are constantly disappointed in me for the things that make me a good father? The things that make me a good father, my kids can't stand. I'm putting boundaries on them now. What time they go to bed, how many ice cream cones they can have, what they can spend their money on. Why? They hate it. They think I'm a bad dad. Because I have the bigger perspective. I'm training them for life. Short term, they're frustrating me every day. But the things they don't like about it are what make me a great dad. If I let them just kill themselves and do what they wanted in the short term, does that make me a good dad? Praying thy will be done teaches us to trust God's timeline and to sacrifice instant gratification for long-term best. In every circumstance, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And thirdly, ready? Praying thy kingdom come is not fatalistic disengagement from the reality of your life. Okay, God, thy will be done. Just do whatever you're going to do. You're in control. That's why this basketball analogy is so good. Is the coach playing the game? No. Do the players have to go out and play defense and shoot and move and pick and roll? Yes, they do. But they're doing it under the authority and the game plan of the coach. You see, when your heart is captured by God's purpose for your life, it's not a fatalistic, God's going to do what he's going to do, thy will be done. It's a, Lord, thy will be done, and I want to be a part of it. I want a purpose more than just making money. I want a purpose more than just being happy or being healed, as good as those things are. I want to enter into the kingdom expansion business. How can I join you, God, in what you're doing? I've been asking that this year with my wife, who's having a difficult year. She ended up going to teach full-time rather than part-time, and it's difficult. And I want to fix her. I'm a husband. I want to help it. I want to call, you know, the school and say, hey, look, she's got to quit, blah, 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 because I want to just help her out real quick. And right before Christmas, I started thinking, all right, Lord, thy will be done. I saw I was going to preach this. I might as well put it into practice. How can I join you in what you're doing with Kristen during this difficult season? And it's been remarkable. Rather than trying to fix her or play God, I've had opportunities to encourage her to come and listen. All of a sudden, I'm seeing God using and redeeming a very difficult situation. Do you see that mindset in your life? What area in your life do you need to actually stop fighting God in and being angry and ticked off and shaking your fist and saying, God, how can I join you in the redemption of this situation? And then it gets really fun when you actually, God taps you on the shoulder and says, I want you to be a part of the redemption work in someone else's life. They're going through a challenging time. Look, would you mind just going and encouraging them and loving them and reminding them that I'm trustworthy? We had about 12 folks gathered here all day yesterday, sacrificing their Saturday to be trained how to love and serve our congregation better, to come up alongside those who don't trust God and saying, can we love you and encourage you and minister to you? Praying thy will be done is not fatalistic disengagement. It's entering into God's work in your life and the lives of others. And you want a joy greater than you have today? Sign up for God's will in other people's lives. And the joy you have and get when he uses you is amazing. You see, this praying, thy will be done, teaches us actually how to trust God, because we experience him more and more. And the more you see him working, the greater the trust muscles are strengthened. Two applications. Will you pray this year, thy will be done? Will you turn over the palms of your hands and figuratively speaking and say, Lord, thy will be done this year in my life? Some of you don't know him well enough. You come to church, you have no idea who God is. So that kind of thy will be done might be an invitation just to get to know Christ. Crack open the Bible. Ask questions. Don't just be content with not understanding. Dive in and ask. Others of you need to take your disappointment with God. And you need to talk to him. You need to get some help. Talk to other Christians. Make an appointment with me or somebody else and say, look, I've been trusting God and my life's difficult. This thy will be done thing isn't going so great. Can you help me? Can you encourage me? Can you give me a bigger perspective and help me understand what God's doing? Others of you, you don't give a rip about doing God's will. You don't. And that's okay. God's a great father. He lets teenagers run. You know, teenagers, you have to sometimes just let them go and whatnot. They'll come back at some point. But maybe this is the moment before it hits the fan, before God has to maybe discipline you, yank your chain to say, okay, God, I don't really want it, quite frankly, but I'm willing to learn. Would you be willing to learn? And then secondly, where in your life do you need to say, thy will be done? Literally, right now, in your marriage, with a person who's driving you crazy, with an unmet need that you've been praying about for years, with a health challenge, with some children, with your church. Where do you need to pray, Lord, okay, I give up the reins, I'm going to trust you, thy will be done, may I join you in this work. For me, I need to pray that for my wife, thy will be done, for my children. Here at the church, as we're growing, we have challenges with our finances. What about you? I want to encourage you to write out Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 on a card. On the top of the card, put, thy will be done, and then write it out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Put it in your bathroom, in your mirror above your sink, or in your car, or in your office, in a subtle place. Why? That we might learn and grow. That we might learn that God's worthy to be trusted, and more we might say, Lord, in this situation, thy will be done.